I'm going to talk this morning about children. Not quite what you're thinking right now, but there are two classifications of children in the world today. If you would, look in Ephesians chapter 2 and go to Ephesians chapter 2. But in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, Paul writing to these Ephesians here, this is their previous life before Christ. He says, "And you have the quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." So we have the children of wrath mentioned here in Ephesians. But nonetheless, Paul writing to these Ephesians, he referred to them and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That wrath that is pronounced upon them or was pronounced upon them is based upon the end of verse 2 where he says, "You were the children of disobedience." Now that's key because their disobedience put them in the position of being the children of wrath. Now he also refers to this in Colossians chapter 3. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. And in writing to the Colossians, he refers to the same disobedience that the Ephesians fell in. The children of disobedience, hence were by nature the children of wrath. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, he says, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience." So there you have the children of disobedience showing up again. Their disobedience, though, leads them to be by nature the children of wrath. Now, talking about children, let's go to the other side of this thing and look in Galatians chapter 3. Look in Galatians chapter 3. In Galatians chapter 3, look in verse 26. Very short verse, but it is very fitting here. In Galatians 3, verse 26, he says, "For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." So over here, you have the children of God. The children of God. So then, you have the children of wrath on one side, the children of God on the other. He talks about them in Romans 8. Let's look in Romans 8. Now, I obviously didn't go to every verse that we could have gone to bring these things out. But just to lay a little bit of a foundation here, I need a couple of verses just to strengthen and bolster each side here. In Romans 8, verse 14, he says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear," and it's interesting to note, to fear, "but you've received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." So just a couple of verses that bear out the fact that in this world today, you have two sets of people, children. They're either the children of wrath or they're the children of God. There's no in-between here. There's no these segueing over here and trying to get here. And I want you to note, these here can never, ever go back to here the way God has it worked out. And we'll see that in a little bit. There's no one on the outside here. There's no one in between. There's no one on the outside here. Everybody in the world falls into one of the two categories here. Either the children of wrath or the children of God. You're one or the other. Obviously, everybody thinks they're the children of God. But God kind of has a plan as far as how to become a child of God. Now, in looking at this, there are two characters in your Bible that bear out a perfect example of the difference between the children of wrath and the children of God. Two people in your Bible bear it out as a perfect example of this, And it is found in Genesis chapter 4. So turn to Genesis chapter 4. Look in Genesis chapter 4. Now, there's so much here that we just can't go through all the little particulars, but we'll get the basics of what's happening here. This is Adam and Eve, and they have children, two children. In verse 1, it says, "And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have begotten a man from the Lord." So Adam and Eve's first child is Cain. He's the oldest child here. "And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground." So the two sons, the oldest is a tiller of the ground, the youngest, Abel, is a keeper of the sheep. And so in verse 3, "In process of time, it came to pass that Cain," that's the one that tilled the ground now, "that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstling of the of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had no respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said to Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? He said, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted?" That's interesting to note, that word accepted. You may want to underline it because it's going to be important later on. "And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him." So here are the two kids. The oldest is Cain. He's a tiller of the ground, a farmer. Abel, the youngest, keeps the sheep. So it's time for a sacrifice. It's time for them to offer a sacrifice unto the Lord. So Cain, after laboring in that hot sun, busting the ground, planting the seeds, growing the plants, watering the plants, pulling the weeds, fighting the bugs and everything else involved, it comes time for the sacrifice. So Cain builds an altar there, and he got that altar run from one end of his building to the other. A beautiful altar he's got built to the Lord. So he goes out in the field, and he's got the wagon out there. It's loaded with every fruit and vegetable he's grown out there, and he fills it up. He brings it to the altar, and he loads the food up there. You got corn, you got potatoes, you got beans, you got cabbage, you got lettuce, tomatoes, turnips. The whole thing is laid out there in a beautiful offering to the Lord. Abel, the youngest one's out there with the sheep, just moving them along to greener pastures, making sure wolves and other predators don't get them, and taking care of the animals. And Abel comes in with a sheep, a lamb, slits its throat, drains the blood, and offers it to the Lord. And the Bible says that God had respect to Abel's offering, but he did not have respect to Cain's. And it says that Cain was full of anger, and his countenance fell. You see, there's something about these children here. Even though they're different, there's something that is the same about them. Hold Genesis and turn to Romans chapter 3. There's something that is the same even though they're different. Look at Genesis chapter 3. I messed up. That's my mulligan. It's the end of the year. I'll get one next week, so I can hold off all through the year. Romans 3, verse 9. "What then are we better than they? No, and no wise. For we have both before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, they're all under sin." Now watch this. "As it's written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God." Verse 12. "They're all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one." Look in verse 23. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." So even though these children are different, there's one thing that connects these two. That is, neither one of them are any good. Think about that. Neither one of these are any good. Neither one of them are righteous. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." There's something that binds them together, and it's the sin that's in everybody today. They're not any good. There's no righteousness. But yet at the same time, these are children of wrath, and these are the children of God. Now, when we go back there and look at Cain and Abel, you'll see that Cain falls in on this side after he offers a sacrifice. Abel over here. Cain offered up the best of the best to the Lord. As I said, he had the tomatoes and the potatoes and the cabbage and the beans and the turnips. And I mentioned turnips because we probably got the saying of you can't get blood from a turnip from this particular situation. Say, why is that? Because Abel came along and offered the lamb. Do you know what separates these two people? Even though they have this in common, that they're both no good, they're both sinful, there's none that doeth good, no, not one. There's none that doeth righteousness, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know what separates them, folks?
Blood.
Well, I don't have to preach. Blood. You're right. Blood. You see, God's righteous judgment requires blood. It requires blood. As a matter of fact, the law requires blood. All things are by the law purged with that, with blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Blood. That's why Cain was upset. He didn't have any blood in his sacrifice. And Daddy Adam told him, if you're going to be accepted of God, sons, you've got to offer blood. You've got to have blood in your sacrifice to be acceptable. And Cain didn't offer blood. Cain did not offer blood. But I want to show you today. We went back to Genesis. Let's go back or forward to today. Get two passages of Scripture. Go to Acts chapter 20. Look in Acts 20. When you get there, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 6 first, and we're going to see the application today. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, look what Paul says in verse 19. He says, what? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? Now watch this, verse 20. For you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. You're bought with a price. What is the purchasing power of God? Turn to Acts chapter 20. Now, this is where, just to tell you what we're reading, because we're not going to get the whole context here, Paul, the apostle, is at Ephesus. And what he's done, he's gone there and he's gotten the elders, the preachers of the Ephesian church together, and he's having a meeting with them. He's basically saying, I'm fixing to leave. You'll never see me before, and they have a big boo-hoo session, which you can understand. So he's given them the admonition of his departure, and he tells them this, verse 28. And you may take, you grown men in here may take heed to this for our church too. He says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God. Watch this, which he hath purchased with his own blood. What was his own blood? It was Jesus Christ. His own blood. That was his only begotten son. He purchased it. You're bought with a price. In other words, those that are children of wrath can have Jesus Christ as their sacrifice, believing he died for their sins, and that blood is sufficient for the forgiveness of sins, and you become a child of God. The thing about it is, you can't go from being a child of God back into the children of wrath. But the children of wrath can go into being the child of God. And that's how it works, because the blood of Jesus Christ has forgiven us all sins, and it is what God accepts as a payment for our sins. It's the exchange rate. I mean, we believe in the exchange rate. We utilize the exchange rate. We utilize a dollar. Now, I bet you believe that we use it in proper perspective. I can prove it to you. Anybody in here got anything for sale up to $500? Anybody? I've got a wad of cash in my wallet. I'm not kidding you. It is just stacked up in here. Anybody in here got anything for sale for up to $500? Because that's all I have here. What do you have? You want to sell it? Yeah? No, come on, really? I'll take it. Come on. Hey, y'all gonna witness it. You wanna sell it? Bring it on. Just cause you're a Pittsburgh Steelers fan don't mean we can't do this. What? Do you wanna sell it? Yeah. I made my point. Is somebody...
You might wanna get in the break.
Come on. Anybody got anything to sell?
Pen to sell $500.
No, come on. I've been looking for a pen. That's a $500 pen? Bring it on, girl. Y'all gonna witness this, okay? Y'all help me count this $500. Look how excited she is. Help me count this out now.
Ah! Oh, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Thank you for the pen, Parrish. Appreciate that. You see, you could have had $500, Brett, and you blew it, okay? Well, I tell you. Now, back from Let's Make a Deal. Ain't much you can do with that, is it, other than play Monopoly, because that's all it is. See, we don't utilize Monopoly money in our exchange rate. All right? Point. God does not utilize things that we can do for Him in the exchange rate from going from a child of wrath to a child of God. The only exchange that He will accept is the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. You can't circumvent it. You can't go around it. Cain tried to go around it. He's like, I've labored out here. I've done all this for you, Lord. I've given my life for this, and I'm going to give it to you. And it was not acceptable. It was not acceptable. Remember, I said, make note in Genesis about it being Abel's being accepted. Turn to Ephesians and look in Ephesians chapter 1. Watch this now. Pay attention to those little words. They'll get you every time. Ephesians chapter 1. Now watch. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Watch this now. According as He has chosen us in Him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of His glory, to the praise of the glory of His grace, and I watch, wherein He, reference to God, hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His what?
Blood.
Through His blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of His grace. In other words, God's sacrifice on the cross. I mean, just put it together. Lamb of God, the sacrifice, shed His blood for all of the children of wrath, in that God could redeem them to Himself through the blood of Jesus Christ, and hence by faith in Christ, we are now children of God. Amen. Thank you very much. We're forgiven. We've been made accepted in the Beloved. Who's the Beloved? Jesus Christ. This is my Beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. We're accepted in the Beloved. And folks, you want to verse that'll just knock your socks off. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Once an individual, as a child of wrath, and you may note back there in Ephesians, it was by nature the child of wrath. You know, we don't come into this world wanting to be in that position, but we have no choice thanks to Daddy Abraham, who was disobedient in the garden. Sin entered in through his disobedience, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God has structured it so that He could redeem the children of wrath unto Himself through Jesus Christ. Now, by trusting in Jesus Christ, what do I mean? Believing that Christ died for your sins, He was buried and raised again the third day. That's the good news today. That is the gospel. The good news, Christ died on the cross, shed His blood for you, was buried and raised again the third day, and is right now seated at God's right hand, just waiting for people to put their trust in Him. Because the work's already been done. We don't have to till the ground of good works. I watch these preachers. They're, you know, your televangelists, they'll make the announcement, if you've got sin in your life, boy, that'll cover them all, wouldn't it? You got sin. I mean, who are you going to miss on that one? come on down and confess your sin before God. And so they'll start pouring down, and the band's back there playing that walk the aisle music, you know. And they're coming down and they're kneeling and, oh, they're just, I'll tell you, oh, I've sinned against God. You've sinned against God. You've sinned against God. Well, why don't you confess your sin? Oh, God, I'm a sinner. You think God gets any pleasure out of that? All the boo-hooing going on, and the preacher says, well, this brother or this sister has confessed their sins. Go your way. What? Do you know the Bible says that if righteousness came by the law given back here, then the death of Jesus Christ is in vain, of none effect? If God allowed someone to walk down this aisle and kneel down right here, and I stood before him, I said, confess your sins to the Lord. Let me pray over you. Oh, Father, listen to his or her confession and forgive them. And God forgave them. He'd be telling his son, you went to the cross in vain. And he won't do that, folks. There was a purpose in Jesus Christ going to the cross. There was a purpose. Why? So that he could save wretches like us that are no good, that need salvation, and we can't earn it on our own. So he provided the sacrifice perfect for us in shedding the blood of his own son, which is his own blood, according to Acts 20. That's his blood, just like my kids are my blood. That's his blood that he shed there. Therefore, he could take these that were the children of wrath, present this message to them. They can believe this. And all of a sudden, he's now got children. And look, when you trust in Christ, the benefit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Look in verse 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. Whether we wake or sleep, we shall live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together. Those of us that have trusted in Christ, we've got an appointment. It's to be with the Lord. These here, if they don't trust in Christ, they've got an appointment to fall into the wrath of God. You see, as earlier, these and these aren't any good. There are none that doeth good. No, not one. So who goes to heaven? Good people? Nah. Who goes to hell? Bad people? Nah. If there's none that doeth good, none of them are good. So who goes to heaven? Those that have trusted in what Jesus Christ did for them, shedding his blood. Those that go to hell, catch God's wrath, or those that reject this message. They're still offering up the offerings of Cain. How about you? Where do you fall into the category? It's all about categories. God's not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. And by faith in him, we have been made accepted in the beloved. That's a beautiful message. You know what that's called? We sang about it. Amazing grace. That's God's amazing grace to mankind, that he would save people who would be as vile and filthy as we are, and yet accept us in Christ as his children. And folks, one day we're going to get out of this world, and this vile body is going to be changed and fashioned like unto his glorious body. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Will you be in that number? You know the song we sing, when the roll is called up yonder, when that roll is called, is your name going to be read out on it? Mine will, because in 1980, I trusted Jesus Christ. Didn't know anything about the Bible, but the simple message is that Christ died for your sins. He was buried and raised again the third day. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Let's stand and we'll close in prayer. Lord, we pray now that you'd convict any hearts here that has not trusted in Christ, that they would just simply put their trust in Jesus Christ, recognizing that he paid the entire price, that there's nothing left for us to do. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. And those of us that have trusted, we thank you that we are found worthy in your Son to be called your children. And we do look for our home far above all heavens, so we can get out of this present evil world, and so shall we ever be with you. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you.